This is a production of Cornell University.
Time is 4:45. John, can you please call the roll? Here.
He's not here.
Colin Benedict.
Here.
Our main pass.
Brian Janoska.
Senator Lucero.
Here. Thomas here.
John Clancy.
Here.
Josiah Garbutter. Jacob Fleming.
Here.
Masa Dadada.
Here.
Catherine Wong.
Here.
Julian Cole.
Here.
Yifan Lee.
Here.
Gavin Martin.
Excused.
Excused.
Leah Martinez.
Here.
Indigo Pavlov.
Where's Debbie?
Tomas Rubin.
Oh, excused.
Lucas Smith.
Here.
Lucas Olivia.
Here. Just not here.
Sarah
Smith. Or something.
Noel Watson. Brian Weintraub.
Excused.
Here, Melvin Dean.
There she is.
Celine Stu. Valentina Stu.
She's on her way.
David Youngblood.
Here.
Yvonne Ross.
Perfect, thank you. So we'll be moving into approval of the November 7th minutes. Can everyone just take a look at those? Are there any corrections? There's been a motion to approve. Is there a second? Seeing a second, all in favor, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed? And all abstaining, by a vote of 21-0-1, the minutes have been approved.
We're now going to move to open the microphone. If you have any members of the community who wish to speak, please come to the table in the middle. So we're going to close open the microphone.
We're now moving into the byline reports. Mariah, if you can take the... No, over there, because there's stuff to do about them. Yeah. Do you have the language that I sent you? Just bring your computer and send it in Slack.
Thank you.
and as you send it, could you just read it aloud?
So, it says, as the community of the Assembly asks the new congregation to write a separate constitution that provides guidance to executive board structure and financials of organizations to better guide the organizations. In addition, the congregation chair position should be removed from the past possible constitution, as the two organizations are not going to be funded until they receive the separate. So, I'm going to take that next for the
There's been a second to that amendment. Any dissent? Okay, seeing no dissent, we'll move into voting on the amendment. All in favor, please raise your hand or placard. And all opposed? And all abstaining, by a vote of 22-0-1, this amendment has been added. Great. Yeah. We're still on convocation. Any questions or comments for Mariah? Is there a motion to approve? There's been a motion to approve. Is there a second? Seeing a second. All in favor of giving Convocation Committee $18, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed, and all abstaining, by a vote of 23-0-1, the convocation has been given $18. Next, class councils.
So, the next condition is class councils, and the reason that is class councils, their main mission is to foster class spirit and pride. We do have a couple of them in the increase because of the lack of a decent budget. They had about 4 lines that they put together events with a number next to it, which is not really detailed in our not really a budget at all. And so we are tabling this until next week. We reach out to the organization to see if we can get a more detailed budget. And so, yes, we kept the kind of funding that they added for our increase. And so, yeah, that's kind of it. There was just not enough information. We felt to warrant an increase. And so, we will be working on that later this week/early next week. And then I'll review the reports.
There's been a motion to table. Is there a second?
Second.
Seeing a second and no dissent, all in favor, please raise your hand or placards. All opposed? All abstaining, by a vote of 23-0-1, it's been tabled to next week. Next is senior days. Great. There's been a motion to table. Is there a second? Yeah. Is there a question or a second? Second. Seeing no dissent, we'll move into tabling. The vote on tabling. All in favor, please raise your hand. Or placard. All opposed. Is that an opposition or in favor? That's opposed. Okay. And then all abstain. By a vote of 21-1, this resolution has been tabled. I just want to correct the record. Class councils was tabled by a vote of 22-0-1, and convocation committee was approved by a vote of 22-0-1. I can't count. I'm going to motion to move resolution 15 above resolution 14. Can I have a second, please? As a second. Any dissent? Okay, we're just going to do that. Yep, I'll just do it.
We'll go back.
Do we co-chair one?
Yeah.
Or is it just you?
You can sign up.
Okay. I'm going to share this. He's coming. We're just doing business. Joe, do you want to present your resolution?
Yeah. So, Resolution 15, Title 3, is the word for the decision of the council structure and representation. It should just be representation, but that's okay. So, this resolution essentially seeks to do two things. The first is a more immediate task of producing a demographic report of the student assembly by the end of the fall semester. This is something that we've never done at the student assembly, and I saw this idea at the University of Michigan, and I thought it was really cool for us to continue thinking critically of how we represent different constituencies and different identities on this campus. It was really born out of a conversation around the dice graph and understanding that this has been a very historic trend of us realizing that we're not representative of a certain constituency and then making that change, which is great that we're responsive, but I think if we have data where we will be able to actually publicize that data and show to the public what we're doing, I think it's going to instill more public trust in the fact that we see what's happening on our assembly. So that's the first thing that this committee will do. The second thing is that this committee, before the spring 2020 elections, is this committee will hopefully produce a report that looks at the structure and composition of the assembly itself. So, do we have any regular representatives for college? Is the executive board way we elect our executive leadership the best way? Looking at a lot of these fundamental questions of the structure of the assembly that I think will serve this assembly really well, because I would rather us take a very deep dive look into this current assemblies and the assembly going forward structure instead of us adding one-offs, because I think that many times we fail to see the bigger picture in those conversations. Like I said, it's fantastic that we are always thinking critically about this, but I think a holistic conversation where we look, the current number of students in arts and sciences, does that mean that these three representatives, is that a great proportion looking at our other college constituencies? And then anticipating the obvious increase in the enrollment of the student body after more campus residential expansion has been built, and taking a more look to that as to what the assembly might need to implement at certain dates and setting a plan for that, I think would be really interesting. So the composition of this committee, this working group committee is made of tomato. So we chair our parliamentarian, we have our executive archivist, and ex officio on the committee. The reason I decided to delineate that is because both Debbie and me are seniors, and they were here our freshman year, where the assembly went into a holistic process of restructuring the committee that produced a report going into our sophomore year, and the assembly at that time didn't take advantage of that report and didn't look at it. So both of them have a historic knowledge, Debbie has some elementary ideas to really lead the committee. And then the committee is going to be comprised of the work group is comprised of two voting members from the class of 2023, two voting members from 2022, one from 2021, and one from 2020. Obviously, biasing it towards the underclassmen because the assembly changes will impact them the most. So that's just a proposed structure. I know Debbie has set a really impressive deadline. This is an impressive deadline for the spring, but I think it's super doable. And I think it's really important to continue to be critical of how the assembly looks and how our assembly is structured to make sure that the right voices are always being represented. So that's it for me, and I'm happy to take some questions.
Okay. Please raise your hand if you have a question or comment. Ursai, Jacob, John. Okay, Ursai, you may start.
So, would the members be community members or SM members or
SM members? And I hope that obviously Debbie has her own plan to have what the timeline of the committee would be, but I also do hope that this committee will be engaged in some public feedback and realization of other peer institutions. And in addition, any changes that come from the assembly of our public record that we can discuss and talk about.
All right, Jacob.
When I saw this resolution on the agenda today, I was sad. I believe this is definitely a resolution that needs to be seen assembly, and it's crucial that right now we evaluate truly the composition of who we have representing us. It's been far too long since we've looked at this, and I hope that really the representation across the entire assembly and how well it reflects the student body. And I think that this is something that's fantastic. I would hope that we can have this committee perhaps remain year to year to make sure it's constantly
evaluating culture. Cornell is a really school. We have a contract college. We have a private colleges. We have many different groups on campus. It's a huge school to study. So we're looking at 12 social members that needs to be actively here in order for us to make effective change that truly has an impact for all members of our community. So therefore, that was what we did in December, but I hope we can launch this debate and extend it like perhaps moving forward from years to come. And if you want to do that, then you just need a bylaws and then yeah, that would be awesome.
Thank you, Jacob. John Clancy?
I have a quick question. This is just for the application, but are we sure that the allocation for if we're thinking of planning that as a North Campus expansion, are we sure that those numbers will not change in any way in terms of the allocations of like sophomores, freshmen, with those North Campus forms?
Can you elaborate on that question? Are you asking non-North Campus, is the distribution going to maintain the same or?
Yeah, the distribution, are we sure that that number is high enough for the number of the new housing, whether it's going to be sophomore or freshman college? And I know it depends right now on the goal, are those numbers fine?
I don't know the answer to that question. That would probably be a better question for the provost's office on the overall enrollment and admittance rate. That's a question that I think is beyond the bounds. And then the housing rate, who's being housed where, that's probably also, that would be a great question for my party. You want to get clarification on that, I'm sure I'll send an email to get that information. But that the exact distribution, I don't know the answer.
Thank you.
Masa? Mike?
First of all, thank you, Joe, for this resolution. I'm kind of confused. Line 41 to 45. So will the director of student government relations be voting?
That's a different one. We're on resolution 15.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense. That's why it's awesome. That makes sense.
The 41 to 45, that is technically submitted
to our
perfect. Do we have any more questions or comments? I do have one question. Obviously, great resolution. So, line 39 to 40 say that the student assembly will vote whether or not to implement these changes before the spring 2020 elections. Does that mean that they're going to put these changes as part of the election cycle, or is it going to be for the next newly elected student assembly to vote on decide next year?
My goal would be if changes are implemented, they're changed before the petitioning period of the spring 2020 elections. That's if this assembly decides to take the recommendations of this working group. Obviously, this assembly has the ability to reject the findings and recommendations of the working group. And so it's what I'm asking the working group to think about in that regard. the biggest idea, and all the way down to the smallest changes, and then let's have the community look at it, and let's have this assembly decide this.
Awesome, thank you. Any more questions or comments? Cool. Is there? Sure. So, do you withdraw your motion?
Sorry.
Okay. What is this? Okay. Let's vote on this.
So we have to vote on moving it into business of the day.
All right. Please raise your placard if you want to vote to move business of the day. It is
overwhelmingly passes.
What is it?
22. Are you cheering? So 0-1.
Yeah. Okay. 22-0-1. That vote passes. Okay. It's now the business day. Was there a motion to vote? Motion to vote. Is there any second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent. All in favor.
All in favor?
You dissent.
Okay. Do you withdraw your motion? State your dissent.
What?
State your dissent.
I do. Oh, I just have a question to Joe.
This is the person who motion. Can we draw the motion?
Okay. Thank you.
Ask your question.
What's your
question?
My microphone.
Okay, so people with who are biracial and have multiracial, how will these demographics be promoted?
I'm sure that's something that the demographic report can capture. I'm not a demographic survey
expert. I'm sure we can utilize a system in which individuals who identify as biracial would be counted in that.
And then how will the individuals state how they identify?
So there's going to be pre-selected pre-written boxes, but there's always going to be an opportunity to create another category. And I hope that if we're going to that sign, that a significant number of people are comfortable with stating it, that is listed, that there's no comfortable grounds. Obviously, the survey is going to be sent out before, like, the potential design of the survey is going to be sent out for feedback, and then the assembly is going to take the survey to make sure everyone feels included and everyone is accurately comfortable with the way they should be counted.
I also want to add that Cornell actively has demographic data on most of the students, so the first step would be probably looking at what Cornell's demographic data of the student body looks like, and then like going from there before we start soliciting information from the student body.
If not the student body, the student assembly.
Or student assembly, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I guess like my problem with that is would be like us Arabs, we're like lost between what Cornell like says we are and then what the U.S. Census calls it, and like we end up being categorized as white. Okay, not good.
And I know that there have been other universities, I think Michigan actively is able to make sure that their students aren't being counted as white. So, we can make that a
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Masa. We have Jacob again. Jacob, fight.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, I think that's great to have a diverse group and an environmental support. Exactly, what will be done when you have a line of demographics? Say the demographics demonstrate that the assembly is largely white. So, what is, it's great to assess, to see a problem, but to actually do something about it is really profound.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. So, the demographic report is going to be introduced publicly to the support of the body of saying what is the current representation of the assembly. Obviously, that's not going to be a silver bullet solution. It keeps people aware about how representative we are, maybe, but it also keeps us aware of how we might not be representative. So, if we are vastly white, which I think that, we will understand the blind spots that we hold as our representatives as a fully realized assembly, and I think that also informs our policy making. So, understanding that if there is a resolution that might have a disparate impact around a specific marginalized identities, understanding what voices aren't being represented at the assembly at the time, and being able to take those voices into consideration, even if they're not sitting around the table in the assembly, maybe the policy that we produce does create those impacts, so we really need to be conscious about that.
Right, and just following up on that, I know this perhaps is not a question that you can answer, or Debbie, or for that matter, can answer. But is the region that we find perhaps assembly is overly depopulated? Say that the percent of white students in the assembly is greater than the actual percentage of white students on the Cornell's campus. Would we be able to implement an additional seat perhaps for a minority student? Or this is theoretical, but as a safeguard to making sure that you're not getting action.
Yeah, I think that's where we're asking to do the demographic report before we start looking at the structure and composition. So if we do see that there's an issue in how the structure is created representation issue, then yes, 100% that's something that we're going to take into consideration in utilizing the recommendations. But also, I think it's going to inform our elections outreach. It's going to inform media service, the record of elections, as to how can we publicize the opportunities of the student assembly to different communities across this campus. We aren't seeing any representative of this year's current assembly, so we can't make sure that people, specific identities that are not being represented now can be represented in the future.
Thank you. Okay, there's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? Second. Okay. Please raise your placard or hand if you support this motion or this resolution. Second. 22. Okay. 22. Okay. 22-0-1. That this resolution passes. Congrats, Joe.
We have
14. Is he here? Okay. Yes. So we're going to do resolution 14. Joe.
I'm going to be there. Okay. Resolution 14 is the creation of student government relations. So this is an idea that has fallen in my head when last few nights and weeks, I see Vice President. I've had two opportunities to work with our government relations office, one in state relations and the other in federal relations. The state relations, the project that I wanted to do with them was a lobbying, a student assembly in Haven, a lobbying event to lobby for DENDA in New York State, which was the act of anti discrimination on the line of gender identity and gender expression. We ended up not going because the states had passed it before we needed to get there. And so I learned that experience, and then I tried to work with the Office of Federal Relations down in D.C. To lobby for mental health legislation on college campuses with Brown Lives Matter. That became a difficult time in planning these trips. Is really, really difficult because you're trying to figure out how can I get a bus, or how can I get transportation for a set of students, how can I train them for a specific topic of lobbying, how to understand student lobbying, how to understand legislators' perspective, and really trying to get their kids' student voices into Albany, into Washington, D.C., on these issues that impact our students on a daily basis. And technically right now, it's right into the Executive Vice President's job, and let me tell you, serving as EVP and seeing capital as EVP is so much work as EVP alone, just coordinating these trips, it's insane. Like, that job process is just way too much for a single individual, and if you really want to do as well as the student assembly, I really do believe that this concept of an Office of Student Government Relations can really emphasize student voices. And so, just to give a quick, kind of structural thing as to how this office looked initially. So it's going to be led by the overall director of student government relations. Then two individuals, then there will be three individuals that will report up to this individual, the director of state local affairs, which is also the chair of CELO, who I believe is co-sponsoring this, a director of New York State relations, and a director of federal government relations. And these three individuals would be coordinating specific lobbying efforts in D.C., Albany, and Ithaca, under the spectrum, but also be able to align messaging. So if there's an issue that's happening in Ithaca that affects our New York State, that affects our Washington, D.C. lobbying, students, we need to be able to align that messaging. So that's why I think we're all going after this really that mission. And so these individuals would be responsible for the logistical planning, the messaging of specific issues, the collaboration with other student organizations on specific sets of issues. I think that's really, be a really wonderful part of it. Moving forward, the state government relations is a more interesting role. I'm asking the assembly to take high consideration that this role specifically be given to one of our contract college representatives, and that individual would also be a liaison to the student assembly. I really think that's the best way we can possibly be doing business because our contract colleges are the people, are the students that are mostly impacted by New York State relations and the state appropriations. And so that's why I'm also asking that to be considered with the structure. Essentially, how this would go is the same thing with how we did the Office of the Student Advocate. The president would appoint the director of student government relations, then the director of student government relations would then go out and find the directors. Obviously, the director of state local affairs is the chair of CELO, so that individual is already selected. So if this passes, congratulations, Lucas, you have another job. And so I think that we'll go through the whole entire process of confirming people again. In addition to this resolution, I'm asking the assembly to appropriate $10,000 from special projects fund to go into the Office of Student Government Relations so that travel to Albany and DC can be covered by the student assembly, because this is another huge issue in trying to get people. It's where we're getting the money, especially from collaborative organizations, understanding that student organizations are first doing their programming, and this is a secondary activity that they can do. So these are just supplying money to this. And so I throw the word on that. It's just a, it is some type of story. So we'll see. I think that's a wonderful price, and I know how expensive this can be with the board. And then looking down further, this individual collaborate with our state university relations, our state relations, our federal relations, because obviously the university's interests in lobbying students are almost always going to align with student interests, and they almost always, because there's always divergences. Sometimes, but most of the time on federal issues of financial aid, we massively align in the expansion of programs, that's an alignment between the university and the student body, and state appropriations in New York, that's an alignment in the university. So the big issues were obviously in alignment, so working on messaging and getting the student stories and getting them trained from our professionals, that's wonderful. And then, just to include the final amendment, so asking the essay is an ex-officio position to student advocate for the student government relations. I do student advocate events, I feel like we didn't do that with student advocate, so one is stigmatize that. And then the other element is removing specific quality duties from the EDP job description. And then lastly, the student summary is going to look to approve a set of bylaws for this office by the end of the fall term. So, with that, Lucas, do you want to add anything or do you want to go to questions?
Awesome. Thank you, Jill. Please raise your hand if you have a question or comment. Masa? Jacob? Okay, let's go with Masa.
Okay, so now, lines 41 to 45. So if it's Lucas this year, next year, would it be one of the students that would be representative, or would it be someone else?
It would be the chair of SLO. So when we go through our general elections, we go to the chair of SLO. The position is just to be held. So it can be a student assembly member, or a student assembly member. They're always welcome to chair an SA committee, but it can also be a community member.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, awesome. Jacob?
I was wondering if you knew how many separate lobbying trips we have actually been sent to last year, and how many of them were planned and together.
Yeah. So, from the student assembly side, I was the first EDP to start this process of lobbying to build relationships. I don't know of any other potential trip the SA did before I took it. So, this was a fairly new thing. But I know currently already our Office of Federal Relations holds about 5 annually lobbying days down in DC itself, where they can bring students. And Albany is less popular with students just because the issues are more niche. So I don't know if they do, but they really, really encourage our directors of state and federal relations really, really want the students to be in the halls of Albany and DC to get the student story. So I don't know any other, like, if an essay person before my time, even at Cornell, did this, I don't know of that. So this is a fairly recent thing of us trying to try to make that.
Colin?
Thanks, Joe and Lucas. I just had one question about the special projects funding for the $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So is that accessible by like outside student organizations that are only like lobbying for the same issues that like student assembly approves, or like how does that work?
So it's just like the office budget itself is $10,000. So it's just a transfer of special projects fund $10,000. This accounts $10,000. But a big part about lobbying that I'm going to place emphasis on the office is the partnership with our student organizations here. The student assembly itself is great at advocating things, but when we partner with an organization, if they have a specific issue that they want to lobby on, then they're always going to be invited into the fold. So it's not like an organization's like, I want to lobby for this, which you can do, like an organization contacts the SA and say, like, hey, there's this federal piece of legislation that we would love to lobby. They get them to contract with the Office of Student Government Relations, and then they use that $10,000 that we appropriated to the Office of Student Government Relations. And so that's the organization not paying anything out of their own organization's budget, they're using our budget.
Thank you.
Awesome. Any other questions or comments? Please raise your hand.
Motion to amend.
Okay.
Ryan. 42, it says of the students that we know are voting members, make it 4.
Oh, yeah.
I'll sign that. All in favor
of this amendment?
Of this amendment. 23.
It's 22 to 0.
Or
okay. 22 to 0.
Awesome. 22 to 0 to 1. This amendment passes.
Yay.
Any other? Okay. Is there a motion on the table? Okay. Thank you. Please raise your plaque if you want a table. All in favor of tabling. Okay. 22 to 0 to 1. This motion is tabled. Resolution is tabled.
Yeah. Fun times.
Yeah,
it's great.
Bye, Lucas. Bye, Lucas.
I want a joke to
it. It is a lot of
joke. Perfect. So, this one, I'm calling it a special resolution for the one for health fund. If anyone has a better name for the fund, please. Academic, because it's a non-fund. this strategy, but that's not the entire So what this assessment does is that it takes $10,000 in perceptual projects fund and specifically allocates it to this fund, which is accessible by any student organization. What this fund is intending to do is take this to encourage collaboration between our student organizations. And because we really want to get student organizations collaborating more, we want to make sure that you and other organizations want to do a specific event, that there is money for that event, and you don't have to pull it from your budget. You know, you think, you know, you're like, oh, I really shouldn't do it, I really shouldn't have the money. And that's where this fund comes into play. So this fund would essentially allow organizations who are collaborating on a single event to apply into this fund and get a certain amount of money. So if there's two organizations for a singular event, it's a $500 event. If it's three organizations, it's a $750 event. And it's four or more organizations, it's a $1,000 event. And that's essentially it. It works the same way as much as project funding. It's just you need to have the organization, but it's a limit to what you can request. So it's going to follow all the procedures that it's above certain threat that the executive committee this year is seeing, but in other years it could be appropriations committee. And so, yeah, it's pretty simple. Colin had a question in fact about this. I know the big thing is when organizations are collaborating, sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily, sometimes it's like one organization is doing the event and the other organizations are like promoting it, publicizing it, or sending their members to it. And he asked, like, would they be eligible? And I said yes, because if organizations are consciously publicizing an event to their members, we're expecting those members to show up to those events. Or if we're sending members of their organization to another event, that's still collaboration. We're still bringing students together who might not be together with diverse viewpoints, with different viewpoints, and creating connections across this campus. And so I do think that this would be, they would be eligible under it. Obviously, eligibility is always determined by the committee responsible for allocating the funds. So if we say, no, we're not, this is not going to impact your organization, and we say, maybe not, we're totally allowed the executive committee can return. But for the most part, this organization, this fund's purpose is to give these organizations collaborating. You want to collaborate with students, talking with other students that they might not have abilities to. We get student organizations that we might not think might need to be together to do together.
Great. Okay, thanks, Joe. We're going to start with Osai.
Yeah, I was wondering how this is different from like a lot of highlight reports that you can do.
So, I guess I don't, I mean, I understand your question, but I don't think the question is actually recurring. So there are private organizations that encourage these organizations to collaborate like Lana does, but there's not many other organizations doing that. I mean, yes, yeah, so like, we collaborate, but, you know, when I think about it, I mean, really, let's constantly do, let's make sure that if you want to do it, this is another avenue to do that, to get more money from the student body. So, you know, if I'm an organization, my budget is $500, but I get to try another organization. I want to do this really cool collaboration event because the identities intersect. Maybe they're two cultural identity-based organizations, and the identities intersect, and they never thought about collaborating together. This is an avenue of funding for them, so that they don't have to worry about the current, already limited budget that they hold, and they can just do more events. And I think more programming that is conscious and collaborative is really beneficial to us as a student service supporting that. It's really fantastic. Yep.
All right. Colin is next.
Okay, so this goes back to the special projects funding again. Mm-hmm. So can student organizations double dip, I guess, and simultaneously apply for special projects and the 1.0 fund?
In theory, yes, but in practice, no. So in the sense of, you know, if I have one event and it's a collaborative event between me and another organization, the 1.0 fund would be the primary source of funding for it. Now, that's always dependent on the reviewing committee. So, if the executive committee sees one organization apply for the 1.0 fund with another organization for one event, and then they also apply a special process for that same event, the first case that we're going to look towards is the 1.0 fund. So, we'd say, okay, let's evaluate this application. Then, if they're also applying special projects, we then have to consider the merit of their special projects with us. Is the event so big that us funding it doesn't? So, say it's a big speaker. I would think that, you know, I can speak only for myself, I would say, okay, that's fine. This is a huge speaker. It's going to impact not only their organization, but the collaborative organization that they're working with, but then the campus community as a whole. I think sometimes, you know, that would be the case in which they could get a one-for-one funding grant and a special projects funding grant. There would probably be circumstances in which they could get the one-for-one fund and not the special projects fund. If we don't think that event warrants the big community impact, or we question that impact. But again, I think that question comes down to the reviewing committee's decision.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the speaker's list is PM.
Yep. Any registered student organization can apply.
Okay. So let's say it's like three subwords from this
thing. So they apply. Next, we have Jacob Youngblood.
I'm wondering what the plan is for the future funding of this fund. Obviously, right now, we have a lot from SDSC, but once this $10,000 rolls out, how will you plan to fund this in the future?
Yeah, so I think it goes to the point of, will we run out of money for this academic year for this fund? And if we don't, then are we going to say that this fund idea might not be attractive to student organizations? Then we can say, well, the fund didn't work, let's put this money back into a special project funding. If we do see that this fund is really, really popular, I hope that next year's student assembly finds a way to kind of split their special projects funding, which is proportional with it. Mariah and I had the same conversation about, we're doing a lot of this cool stuff right now in the student assembly session during byline year. And there's a way that we can make sure that we can ensure sustainability for the next 2 years of the funding cycle. With SAFC, it's kind of helpful, because SAFC is a unique organization. So I'm sure we can ensure that through a partnership, which is part of a grander vision of when we cover transforming SAFC to bring SAFC closer to the SA. So I think that relationship moving forward is going to help create sustainability for a lot of the programs that we're creating now.
Next, we have Mariah.
So I guess my question is, this year when we did special projects, we did it like the fall versus the spring, because we know outcome will be like less consistent.
Yeah.
And so is it going to be the same thing, or do you want to just do it on like a year by year basis instead of splitting it?
I have a preference to do it by a year by year basis, because even still, I think this is another ask that we're going to do for appropriations committee, and even in the bylines every year, they're seeing special projects requests, and they're still working on NT, and also, the goal is to continue having appropriations committee be more forward or more proactive with its dependency stuff. So I think you're going to ramp up the workload on appropriations committee on non-violent cycle years, just because I think right now the current audit process is not actually finding issues if there are potential violations. So I think doing the year by year thing would be still beneficial.
Thank you. Is there anyone else with questions or comments? Motion. This is the standing.
It's standing.
It's a standing rules. So second. Okay. Any dissent? Okay. All in favor of moving this business of the day? Please raise your placard. 22-0-1. This has been moved into business of the day. Motion to vote. Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? No dissent. Okay. All in favor of voting for this resolution? Get a okay. 22-0-1. This resolution passes. Congrats, Joe.
Yay. Yay. Oh my goodness, he's done that.
We're going to move on to resolution 17, which is the iClicker resolution. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of so much. It's
such a sort of genius.
Where is it?
So this is like the sort of iClicker resolution is not a result from the essay. this is a different but yeah, just disregard the first rule saying that the charity of justice kind of is that's not what we voted
for. Is this not the right one?
It's not the right one.
Did you put it in the box?
I did. Did you get it? It's inside the box.
I think.
Yeah, can you send that around again? Yeah, just send an email out. And in the interim, I'm going to ask the assembly to move into resolution 12 because I see this one being a longer conversation. Can I have a second?
Okay.
Thank you. We're going to move into resolution 12. What? Julian and Masa. Where'd she go? Okay.
That's fine.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Julian.
We're great.
Where is it?
It's on the back. It's the last page. Okay. Go for it. Art. Yeah, wait for Masa. While we wait for Masa, can I just get a couple hands who will be on the speaker's list? I have Jillian. Any assembly members?
Anybody?
Please. Indigo? Anyone else?
Any other community members that are interested in speaking on this resolution?
Oh, hello. <All right.
laughs> Nope. Okay.
Mueller?
Bueller.
Jillian, if you don't want to wait for Julian and Masa, you're allowed to. You can go now if you have a comment, or do you want to wait for Julian and Masa to do an intro?
Of course she was.
Masa, run. Run, Masa.
Hurry up.
Quicker.
Faster.
Go for it.
So this resolution obviously to reform the community of procedure to make it more accessible and more private. We think that the procedure would not be doing so, for instance, way too loud.
Yeah, you just can let it sit there and it'll hit you. Yep. Oh, keep talking then.
Keep talking.
We think the electronic vote is not fine in our legislation doesn't do it because it makes voting as accessible as we can, given the constraints imposed by the bylaws that we have, and as private as we can, period.
Period.
I think that's the basis of what we're going to do.
Okay, we'll move into the speakers list then. Jillian,
come up to the table.
Yep, come up to the table. Take RMA, you're welcome to give. Yeah, there, use that one.
Okay. Hi, guys. So I have a few things with this resolution. The first thing that I think there are ways to make it more private and more accessible without kind of opening the floodgates, for lack of a better term. For example, I was talking about earlier, is that Hillel's Newborn Elections, they often times go back and forth on so whether we should have electronic voting, where you can send out a link to everyone in the community versus resolution was the BDS resolution last year, and
being present was important in some regard because you saw the impact that it had on campus. You could see how everyone was reacting in the room, and you could hear the points that were being made in a way that really was not but I just think those are all things you should consider. I think that it makes sense to make it more accessible to people and to make it more private if both that are concerns. I think there are ways to kind of contain it and make it a little bit more meaningful.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Julia Massa, would you like to respond?
So we absolutely acknowledge the value of having this session in the assembly, and we hope that in the future conversation people will still come and engage in that. But I don't believe that it'll come to a popularity contest if you use electronic. I think, frankly, issues for which the community vote will be relevant, polarizing issues that affect a lot of the campus, I'm hard pressed to believe that people will sign away their vote because they're asked to. I think if someone during the BDS proceedings had sent you a link and said, vote this way, would you have blindly voted? Or would you have given it a little bit more thought? I think it could buzz even more. And I'm not entirely convinced that the whole election is comparable because the link in that case would be sent to anybody who could vote on an issue that doesn't affect them. But in this case, the issues that community votes will be considered for affect everybody on campus. Everybody is invested in the outcome, and I frankly don't think that the two situations are entirely comparable. Due to privacy, I think we had discussed some alternatives to what we had proposed earlier, and even when we proposed the parliamentarianism session of voting information to the people present at the meeting, to an extent greater than the barrier that it's been in our time. And that's problematic. There's no oversight on the parliamentary method of those. Our parliamentary last semester, we would give information as soon as we announced the assembly, but no one gets it. And the pictures. Well, no.
You're done? Yeah. Jillian, you can respond.
So I guess in that same thing, there are ways so the parliamentarian is not access to who voted what, right? Like I talked about earlier, swiping someone in to make sure that they're a student, as, but not tracking their vote, like having a vote be separate from checking if they're a student is a way to ensure privacy in a way that was not done in the last semester. And I think it's important to note that we talk about something being relevant to the whole campus, but at the same time, like we talked about earlier, the PDS situation was not relevant. Some people really didn't care, and it doesn't matter who they were with, what they were representing. So I just think that that's something that you guys should consider in making sure that the essay is going to be the most meaningful impact based on the wants and the concerns.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think the crux of the difference between these different proposals is everyone having accessibility to as many people as possible at the cost of having some people vote who might not be able to sit in an issue, or restricting more people at the cost of turning away people who have something to say but don't have the interest, the time, or the energy to participate. And frankly, I would prefer to as many people as possible. Because I don't believe that a significant proportion of our campus population would vote on things that they don't care about, especially in cases where those votes are so polarizing, emotional, and relevant.
Thank you. Indigo. Thank you, Indigo. Mariah. Thank you. Army?
Yeah, just a couple things that I want to add. I think maybe you should run through the essay. It's definitely better to everybody on campus because the essay represents the character of the population. And I think the number of proposals that we have,
thank you. Jacob Fight, Morgan, I got you after.
Yeah, I actually can't agree with the audience. I think we need to relinquish some of our personal politics in the past for to strive to reach the body here. We have maybe more sensitive, you know. But better than I can put it that. And, you know, regardless of the fact that the only people that vote from, like, you know, white landowners, the idea was that they were the only ones who had a vested interest in policy. We realize, though, that that's not true, and that just because somebody doesn't have a vested interest defined by the people who are served by those votes, that everyone's voice matters. And I think that that's true here. I think we need to recognize that everyone votes that. Just because somebody show up to a meeting doesn't mean that their voice should count more than the person who has to work because they can't afford their tuition, so therefore they're unable to make a meeting. I don't think it's fair for them for their voices to be silenced. So I think that in order to reach a more equitable community and a fairer, a more equitable vote, a more democratic legislative body like whole, we need to embrace the community consensus, and so therefore I'll be voting in the
Mr. Jacobs. Morgan. If you're giving out your password with their NetEye, please stop that practice and change your password immediately. I don't need to see your grades because I already can guess.
Anyways,
go. Thank you. Liam, I got you on the speakers list. Osai.
I think
Keep going, Osai.
What are some of the mechanisms that have so first of all, I think you also have the instance of low information voting when you take a meeting votes in person. One of the difference is that with in-person votes, people with higher socioeconomic status are more able to get their friends to turn up and then turn out for the vote, which may not have the information. But if you're going to have an issue with the people going to the vote, we're also going to be going to legislation and we have one of our own but we worked with the RPG assemblies, and we can actually be very with it, because if people had wanted to attend in person to witness the discussion, but that's not the case, they home and watch the live stream, that can be problematic given the low quality of our live stream, which is not what you're saying at all. So we thought it was better to not include it at all. So if you want to hear it,
as a point of clarification, the live stream to all of our meetings is included in our agenda blast. Liam. Colin.
Yeah, I just want to highlight that I'm pretty sure it's not the job of this assembly to like make assumptions as to like how much background knowledge students may or may not have to like a particular issue. It's our job to make sure that they have the accessibility there and that they can actually vote. So yeah. I don't see why this is like super contentious. Let's just vote on it and get it over with.
Is that a formal motion to vote?
Motion to vote.
It's been a motion. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we'll move into voting on this resolution. All in favor of Resolution 12, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed? Yo. All abstaining. By a vote of 22-1-1, this resolution passes. Moving into Resolution 17. Osai. He sent it out through the Slack, everyone, so please, you're allowed to use your laptop or phone. Which you shouldn't be doing during the normal course of the assembly meeting, Goliath.
So, this basically just gives us
a,
sort of like a framework for voting on go about it, because right now
the vision I have is to just like, okay, if the majority of the students are going to be like Harvard, we're going to go by. But the problem with that, as it was pointed out to me in the past couple of days, was let's say someone wants to vote one resolution, and then they propose to vote, someone says, and then now there's a vote to vote. Now, when we're going to voting, there's a motion to vote to vote by factor that someone else dissents. So you can kind of see where that would be an issue. You just be filibustering yourself as a whole. Now, one solution that I think has this problem is to, like, I know it might be a little unprecedented, but like, it doesn't mean that it's not good. That way that we can keep the debate moving and focus on the issue that actually matters. I know there's the last time that we had the trial, there was a lot of like mixed up, there was a lot of mixed opinions,
Thank you, Osai. I'm taking a speaker's list. If you're interested in asking a question or saying a comment, please raise your hand,
Julie.
So far, the first person I have is Noah,
Andrew,
John. Raise them. Okay, I don't see anyone else. Noah, go for it. Noah.
Okay, John. So, factors are currently being defined by models of assemblies through academic IT. We do have an option to buy our factors if we want. That can be something that is discussed. But the main issue
you're next.
So it probably comes from the industry, but
plus the base unit as well, which I don't know how much that is.
So all of them are going to be about $750, but keep in mind this is a one-time
purchase for this.
Thank you. Julian?
And so I
feel like we've become pretty contentious. Like, I don't feel like we're actually saving a lot of your time by doing this electronically.
Sure.
So in the person, what an individual, right? Like you said just before, because of the job and the job obligations, aren't able to make it to like SAP, aren't able to make it to like, even if you have a mastery, like that might be of like low quality, aren't able to see like visually who voted for what. And I think it's not. I think it's not fair to make that assumption that people can make it to them, people can make it to like these meetings all the time. On your other point, the vast majority of SMOs are not personal, like people have their opinions, but
great. John?
Yeah,
can you use the microphone, please? Or Mariah, passing the microphone.
So I want to start off with thank you for putting so much time into this. I think you've demonstrated this really means a lot to you, and it really shows your dedication, if I have to say. But I do feel that from what I saw within the trial run, I agree with Julian that this takes up way more time than it would actually save. I think it distracts SAM from issues, takes up more time from other issues you could be voting on, more victories if we're taking time to discuss whether or not it's a library or a likelihood to vote. And I think it's making, I understand your concerns, and I really appreciate that you really looked at a bigger picture, like the implications of different styles of voting. But I think it's making a simple process of using the placards way too complex. And in the end, I'm really not convinced that there's a set need that would warrant changing the method. But I do thank you for really putting the time and effort into making this. Thank you.
I'm just going to have another assembly member go, and then you can respond to the comments, Osai. That's okay. Jacob, fight.
I think the arguments that were expressed, I think we're going to be having the wheel here. That process that basically works. We're looking to make it more transparent with the queer community and all of our members. I mean, that's the basket between us voting and the community. If you need to vote, you're not allowed to represent. We are our representatives, and therefore our voting is accountable. Therefore, I think that this process, as you stated, that many votes are not making any general assumptions on the controversiality of votes, but that's okay. So if you go off that the premise is not largely controversial, then it would be easy to say that only one or two members vote in a for a certain bill or a certain resolution. And therefore, I think that it would be easy to post online who voted what. And furthermore, the cost to each eye-picker is not $20, it's around $50, actually, for one of sorts. So this is going to make greater than its work, I believe, on members of the assembly, more volunteers. Some of us who do work, some of us who receive financial aid, and the vast diversity associated with my background here really poses an additional level of burden to members. So I think that lack that is not only is it cheap, it's biodegradable. So it's good. I think it's much better than institutes kind of technology that people
Sure.
I mean, I know this changed forever. They try to hold the body to culture this time. And as humans, we tend to propose things
Yes, it's so good.
I think this would be more accessible to students because, or especially like low-income students who come to take, like, might have to take jobs to like pay for it, like you said, we can't make it easy. We can't come here and do like, and you can't like have, you can't like sit in like a for a 6 hours waiting to come to the school. I think this would bring more transparency to the assembly board because we have a record of who voted for, like, the people to serve, yes, how the money runs, like, a representative
voted, and it's
like, give Colin. He has a point of inquiry, he said.
Yeah, so you were speaking about how this resolution is somewhat similar to the last resolution as far as like how it increases transparency in assembly. Did you vote for the last resolution?
Did Colin ask her?
I
vote for the last resolution. Okay. Masa.
Hi, thank you a lot for the efforts and things. I have two questions. So the first one is, how will secret ballot be? I feel like if that's the case, if you really try, you can easily figure out whose eye picker. Like, if I want to know, let's say, what Noah voted, I could keep an eye out to where Noah approved, and I don't actually know what Noah voted. But sorry for using an example of that. So, like, that's on the side. I think it's a great idea, for us to see how everyone, for everyone else to see if the, for the votes to be put in the minutes through the iClickers, but I also mentioned this before, it might be hectic, but is there a chance that we can use both so we can see either display how people are voting right on the screen, or do both placards and iClickers. I know it's hectic, but yeah. I feel like it could a solution for.
Yeah, I think we can have, we might be able to get different grants, so that way the community knows how each individual, how each individual can get there, and that is something that I think we need to be doing now next week.
There's been a motion to table. Is there a second? I'm seeing a second. Thank you for what's your dissent, Osai? Okay. Well, we're going to vote to vote then. So all in favor of going into a voting procedure on tabling, please raise your hand or placard. One. Is that a one? Two. Three.
Four.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine. 8, 10, 11, 12.
12.
All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 7, 8, 9. All abstaining.
That's
1. By a vote of 12 to 10 to 1, we're going to be into voting to table because that motion passes. So, is it 60% for a vote to vote?
Is it 60% to vote to vote?
I thought it was 50.
Can you
let me check?
We're Googling it. Julian, you're a former parliamentarian. What is it?
Yeah, help me here. I'm looking down.
We're looking, we're looking.
Sorry, y'all.
This is the first time now.
I mean, you.
I thought we did new too.
Did new? Okay, this is not gonna work.
Not that one.
Cute.
Keep Googling it for me. Come on, Mariah, pick me up.
I'm Googling. I'm sorry. Standing rules?
It's in just Robert's rules in general.
Special rules of order.
We're looking. We're gonna check that.
Vote to vote. Robert's rules.
End discussion. End discussion.
No, your question.
Yes.
No. That's just a motion to table. I want a motion to a vote to vote. Some of us did not do model UN.
Okay, what is
this?
Has
never happened.
To end debate?
End debate.
Yeah, close debate. Close debate.
It is 2/3, so this motion actually fails. It's not six, it's 2/3. Okay, we're going to continue into the speakers list, and next I have Valentina.
Wait, can I respond?
No, we're just going to go into Valentina, sorry. Valentina.
First, I just really want to recognize the fact that I was speaking here. I remember two examples. I have previous resolutions multiple times, and I was looking facing so many questions. He was not in any solution, come up with any solutions. And I want to kind of address the point that Lasso raised about the I've thought of why don't we just get rid of all the labels so that you can want to keep the hybrid. So we can also eventually have another set of the hybrid.
So two sets of hybrid. Okay.
But it doesn't have to be exact. It's actually like there kind of a possible way to resolve the hybrid kind of support. For this resolution, I really think there are cases where assembly members, they are looking at how others are voting, then they're deciding how they're voting, which I don't think is correct. And I don't think have either is not futuristic, but I do feel like it gives you some sort of power to follow whatever you are choosing, and then making that vote to represent your constituents instead of.
Thank you. No. Mariah.
So I
Osa, you're allowed to respond.
Because, for me, this would be more efficient for us.
Thank you.
I do apologize for it's difficult by response. And I, the main point of the words is not the main point was to crack and like, was to recognize my vision for the
time. Thank you. Liam? We used it last year, yes. There is interpretation that allows us to use it. It's not written explicitly anywhere, but through an interpretive model, the assembly voted to utilize secret ballot. It would be... We don't rarely use it, and it's not explicit within our governing documents that we use it or that we have it. It's just implicit through parliamentary procedure. No, you do. Okay. Arme.
I see you, Julian.
Can you speak closer to it? That's fine. Second speaker's list.
But I understand the one second. I wish we had fellow speaker that I'm down and just like drawing people's names for simplicity. I'm just not sure this is like the way to do it given the sort of costs and
it's moving up the
second. Motion to table.
There's been a motion to table. Is there a second? Seeing a second. Is there dissent?
I do not withdraw my motion.
She doesn't withdraw her motion. So we're going to... Do you want to keep your dissent? Okay, withdraw your dissent. So we're interested in a vote to table. All in favor of tabling this resolution, please raise your hand or placard.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All opposed, and all abstaining. By a vote of 21-0-1, this resolution has been tabled into next meeting. Can I get a motion? 21-1-1. Can I get a motion to enter into to adjourn the meeting and go into executive session? Okay. We're gonna go into exec. We're gonna have a 5-minute recess just so for the reps to take a break. We'll be back.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.